Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day. Our gospel lesson for this week is Matthew chapter 15, verses 10 through 28. Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. Here ends our gospel lesson.
Well, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I hope that our gospel reading for this week strikes you both as endearing and shockingly disturbing in the prejudices that it portrays. In the first section, Jesus offers up a powerful teaching that I believe has always been true to the nature of the tension between differing groups and the notion that deep down, we are all really the same, despite the distinctions that divide us on the outside. In the second part, Jesus seems to go against his own teaching by limiting the Canaanite woman and her daughter to being merely foreigners, unworthy of the grace and healing embodied in God's chosen people. The passage, when read together, is both wonderfully and horrifyingly complex. One that can repulse us on the surface while at the same time drawing us in to see ourselves more deeply in the communities that Jesus served and even within Jesus himself. Let's begin by focusing on the first half of this passage. Jesus said, "It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles." As with so much of what Jesus taught and did, this offended the Pharisees. They were a group focused on the teachings of the Torah, which very much tied Abraham's descendants to the belief that what goes into the mouth can defile them. In fact, there are over 600 laws in the Old Testament declaring what is lawful and right for God's people to eat, drink, sacrifice, and so on. Most of which deal with how things on the outside could defile the people on the inside, and how they could cleanse themselves if they were in fact defiled by what they ate, drank, or did. So for Jesus to go against their interpretation of these laws of defilement and righteous eating in their scripture was absolutely offensive, maybe even downright blasphemous to their ears. Of course, Jesus knew what he was doing, even if the disciples did not. When they heard his words, they knew immediately how the Pharisees would respond and told Jesus as much, saying, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" Interesting, isn't it? The disciples were more worried about offending the leaders of the synagogues than they were worried about the truth. Or maybe they just wanted to agree with the Pharisees more than Jesus and tried to use the Pharisees as cover. After all, if the disciples were following the rules of the right things to eat and drink, then they could rest at ease with the Pharisees' teaching. Jesus, on the other hand, challenged them to look inward, to take stock of what was in their own hearts, and then stand before God with the full knowledge of all the evil, sinful thoughts and intentions that were in them. It is much easier to focus on eating flatbread than to deal honestly with your inner rage, envy, lust, or greed. And this is exactly what Jesus wanted his disciples to deal with, though. And he surely did not care about what the Pharisees thought. To paraphrase the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Jesus wanted them to deal with the content of their character, not the cleanliness of their diet or the piety of their rule following. Yet, right after Jesus compelled his followers to focus on what is on the inside, he went on to judge a woman solely for what he could see on the outside: the fact that she was a Canaanite. In the second part of our passage, Jesus moved on to the district of Tyre and Sidon. These are coastal port cities in the region of Phoenicia. That's north of Jerusalem and Israel, and kind of the center of the Judean country. Now, we can assume that the writer of Matthew named these cities to highlight that Jesus and his followers were far from Jerusalem and Judea at this point, and in a relatively metropolitan trading area with a diverse population. Here, we would not expect him to meet solely Jews and people who spoke Hebrew and Aramaic, their native language, but people of all sorts of nationalities, ethnicities, and backgrounds would be gathered there. The one who ended up approaching him was a Canaanite woman, one descended from the people that the Israelites were supposed to conquer, displace, and kill when they entered and settled in the promised land of Israel after their 40 years of desert wandering. Not only was she a foreigner, she was from a nation and a people that Jesus and his people were supposed to consider enemies. And, surprisingly, Jesus and his disciples seemed to judge her accordingly. When she cried out to our Lord to bring healing to her daughter, he responded with silence. The text says that he did not answer her at all. Then the disciples, in all their wisdom, piped up and said, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." I find it fascinating that these disciples were worried about the fact that the Pharisees, ones who were outright antagonistic to Jesus and his movement at almost every turn, were offended by Jesus' teaching, but did not give this woman, who was in genuine need of of some good news, even the time of day. The disciples wrote her off, but were concerned about the Pharisees. You might think that these followers of a miracle worker would be more concerned with an opportunity for the miraculous than they were about offending the status quo. But it was not so. Astoundingly, Jesus joined them by judging this woman because she was different. With a truly gut-wrenching exchange, Jesus responded, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." What? This desperate mother before him was clearly a lost sheep in need of healing that only he could give. Certainly the same guy who in the same Sermon on the Mount earlier in Matthew, who commanded us to care for the least within our midst, could reach beyond his tribe to help the Canaanite woman before him. What does it mean for Jesus to have initially refused to care for the lost sheep before him, simply and solely because she was a Canaanite? A question for the ages. And it gets worse. The mother persisted, "Lord, help me." Though she was not an Israelite, not of the house of David, not descended from Abraham, she recognized that the man before her was the Messiah that their God had sent for all of us, and that he could save her daughter. Our translation says that her daughter was, in our English translation, tormented by a demon. But the Greek form of the word for her possession is the verbal form, daimonizomai, which means that her daughter was actively being controlled by an evil spirit. That evil was acting on her. Day in and day out, that demon kept on demonizing that little girl. The mother recognized that the foreigner before her was stronger than the evil that had a hold of her beloved daughter. And she was going to do anything she could to free her little one from it. To this heartfelt request, Jesus said, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. He implied that those in the house of Israel are the children and the rest of us, especially the Canaanites among us, are the dogs unworthy of being saved from even demons. These are hard words to hear, even now, from the man who fed thousands, healed lepers, opened the eyes of the blind, calmed storms, turned water into wine, and even walked on water. Behind it all, it would seem, was a prejudice that these miraculous signs of God's grace and mercy were only for a select few who were born to the right families. He saw who the woman was, where she was from, and who her people were. And Jesus decided from the outside that she and her daughter should be left to languish in the power of the devil. This is tough stuff to hear or even think about. Was this just a test for the woman? Some interpreters think so. But I believe that we must take seriously the idea that Jesus was so blinded by his humanity that he could not rise above the prejudices and differences that we share as finite people in this world. He knew the idolatry that the Canaanites had brought to God's people in the past. And he knew the barrier that they still posed to the people of God in his lifetime. In a word, the Canaanites were still a threat to the right worship of God amongst Abraham's descendants. And the human part of Jesus didn't want to have any role in indulging that danger. But this woman was more than a Canaanite. She was a mother who loved her daughter, excuse me, and proved Jesus' earlier teachings true by showing what was in her heart. When Jesus said to her, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs," she responded, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." She showed that she was willing, she showed that she would willingly embrace being degraded and disgraced if it meant that maybe, just maybe, Jesus would change his mind and heal her daughter. She showed that she cared more about her little one than anything in the world, surely more than herself. She opened herself to be flayed and degraded at Jesus' feet so that her daughter might be made whole and freed from the evil that overwhelmed her. True to Jesus' teaching, what was in her was unconditional, unalterable, powerful, profound love for her child that even Jesus could not dismiss. What was on the outside defiled her in Jesus' eyes. What was on the inside was more powerful than anything our Lord had ever seen in the house of Israel. The text says, "Then Jesus answered her, 'Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done as you wish.' And her daughter was healed instantly." While the woman's outward appearance as a Canaanite made the disciples and Jesus try to dismiss and demean her, the faith and love that came pouring out of her heart could not be ignored and was indeed the stuff that miracles are made of. Brothers and sisters, look inside yourself. It can be scary, I know. There's much that is hard to dwell on and ponder and when we take stock of who we are in our heart of hearts. Yet our text for today compels us to look inward, because it is there that Jesus means to save us. It is in our heart of hearts that Jesus binds us as neither Jew nor Canaanite, rich or poor, slave or free, black or white, or whatever external barriers and distinctions we put up between us. It is in our heart of hearts that the world cannot separate or divide us, and it is in our heart of hearts that we can even be saved from the evil spirits that seek to demonize us daily. May we take heart this week in the example of the Canaanite woman who would let our Lord strip everything from her, every ounce of respect or decency that she might hope for, in order that her daughter might be saved from the inside out. This is an example worthy of our respect and admiration, and one that inspires faith in even the poorest and most despised among us. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
I hope that you've enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.